God in my life even more this year. And I trust you do too, because there's so much in our life that takes us and bogs us down and controls us. And if we don't take control of the things that control us, they will control you until whenever. You know that? So you've got to take these things and control them and get them beat into submission, whatever the case is, or out of your life. So the first week we had opened up with the scripture out of 1 Peter 5:7, where it talks about cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And that's a good thing to know. And see, this whole thought process of letting go and trusting God, the thing that we shared in the beginning was talking about you've got to let go of those things that you feel that you're not worthy of, that you're always, your sin is there, it's not been forgotten, your finances are lacking and they'll always be lacking, health is an issue and it'll always be your health. And we got to let those things go of what the world and what the God of this world wants to put on us to keep us down and trust God and what God's word says. And so one of those areas we got into was talking about 1 Peter 5:7. The word cast describes meaning throwing, abandoning, or releasing something by intentionally sending it somewhere else. You're going to have to intentionally make a conscious effort to speak down the things that are holding you down rather than allowing them to speak so loud in your life that it keeps you down. So you've got to cast those, abandon those things somewhere else. The word care is translated best as anxieties, stress, pressure, especially as that anxiety, a stress or pressure that comes with a weight. And so we see people even in our churches, and it shouldn't ought to be that we have people in our churches weighted down with stress and pressures and anxieties. People of the church, people of God's kingdom ought to be floating on cloud nine. You know, not weighted down. We ought to be happy, joyful, cheerful. You know, we ought to be just an example to those around us that they see something of how we handle the situations that are evident for today. Doesn't matter what's going on today. Whatever happens today in this world does not affect my stature or my place in the kingdom of God. As long as I keep my alliance to him and I take him as my God, and I'm serving him as my God, and I'm being obedient as my God, and doing what he's wanting me to do, and talk to him, meditate to him, pray to him, follow him, be obedient to him. These things will not change no matter what goes on in the world, because I'm not of this world. I'm passing through. We're sojourners, it'll say in his word. We're aliens, you know, peculiar people. This is not our place of home and where we're going to stay. So we've got to keep that thought process of talking about, you know, the anxieties and stress and all these things that pressure and weight us down. So that was one area that we went into in the very first part. And then the other one was taking control of our thoughts was last week. The scripture that came out of that was 2 Corinthians 10. Verses 3 to 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down the strongholds. Pulling down, destroying the strongholds. Strongholds, fortifications, towers and things that are in your life, a wall, a bunker, whatever it might be, that is a fortress around you that's limiting you and your access to the things of the kingdom of God. So, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down, destroying strongholds or fortifications or towers or walls or bunkers. Verse 5, casting, there's that word casting again, but now this is talking about pulling or taking down. And the week before that, talk about casting. We're casting things upon, you know, cast your cares upon the Lord. Just throw them to him and let him receive them. This was talking about casting, is pulling down, taking down arguments. The King James, the New King James says, the King James will say imaginations. So casting, pulling down, taking down imaginations and every high thing, a barrier, a high thing, a barrier that exalts or raises itself up against the knowledge of God. And those are a lot of things out in the world that is taking and has a barrier between you and the knowledge of God and the things that God has for you. And as long as the devil can keep those barriers before you or encompass or encircle you with a bunker or a barrier or whatever it is, a stronghold, you're going to stay there and you're not going to be able to advance. Advance in the kingdom of God. Just like we talked last week about a lot of the things in the Bible and Paul shares and these things and Peter and all, we find it's a military type terminology and things because that's what we're in. We're in a war. You know, spiritual war, but we're in a war. And so, you know, he relates a lot of it to those type things. Strongholds, bunkers, walls, these situations that we would have around us. But with the King James talks about casting the imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. Have you got to the point of bringing every thought into captivity? I haven't yet, you know. I still get thoughts that run rampant at times, and then I got to stop them, or then I got to come overcome them, or I've got to put them in their place, or whatever the case might be. But it says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience. Now, obedience to Christ. Obedience is that of compliance or submission. Big words in God's word. God expects us to be obedient, and he expects us to be compliant. He expects us to be submitted to him. And if you're not totally, fully submitted to him and complying totally, fully to his word, you're not following him to the best that you can or that what he's expecting. It's a process. It's a growth process that we're all in. You know, we've had to clean out a lot of junk, amen, and a lot of things that still are around us. And there's a lot of things that you think you've gotten cleaned out, and maybe 3 months later it comes back, or a year later, or 2 days later. I don't care what the time frame is, but all of a sudden it comes back, and it's like, wait a minute, it's back again. I thought I dealt with this. Well, you might have to deal with it again, and guess what? Cast it down. Tell it to leave. Get rid of it. The devil did that with Jesus in the wilderness, and he left and said, well, he left for a more opportune time. He was going to come back and do more temptation to Jesus, even though Jesus stood his ground. So that just tells us, guys, you've got to be on your guard all the time, amen? We win a victory, and that's great, and we've got that victory, and we're going to shout and woo-hoo and all that, you know, and we're going to live in that, and that's going to be a testimony, but it might come back somewhere down the road that a situation will arise, and it's going to be, how are you going to handle it? What are you going to do? Are you going to remember that victory 5 months ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, 6 weeks ago that you had over this, but now you've got to battle it again, and you will have to battle some things over and over and over for a while until the devil gets tired of bringing them to you. Because after a while, the devil sees that I brought this same situation 8 times to this person, and they've overcome it each time. How are they overcoming it? Because they're doing what God's word says, casting down vain imaginations, tearing down strongholds, opening up these barriers that the devil tries to put around us. And before long, the devil finds that he's going to say, oh, I'll go find somebody else to terrorize. Now, it's bad for whoever he goes to terrorize, but at least he's not going to terrorize you. It's the other person's job to understand, to be ready, to be on guard, to be prepared. Because the devil is sneaking around like a lion who he will kill or destroy or eat. And I got to wonder sometimes when he comes knocking at my door, it's like, I wonder if he was at Dan's door, and Dan, he's battled this enough to where the devil don't even bother Dan no more. Now the devil's bothering Tim because Dan is a little bit more firmer and stronger in that area or whatever. So the devil leaves him alone, and he's going to say, well, maybe Tim's a little bit more opportune target. And so I've got to do some battle. I've got to do some standing. I've got to do some meditating. I've got to tell the devil and put him in his place, which I'm sure Dan does and many of us. But you're going to have to put him in his place more and more and more because he wants to destroy you. He's not worried about destroying those out in the world. He's already got those. But he's in here and he's sneaking through the kingdom of God and he's wanting to pull people out of the kingdom of God. So you are a trophy to the devil because he's taken it from the kingdom and he's going to say, hey, God, look at this. I got one of yours. I'm going to put his head on my wall, you know, like they do for deer and stuff. I don't know. And it's not to scare us, and I'm not scared about that, because greater is he that is in me than he is in the world, and I know that I can deal with these things. I know I'm victorious. I know I can have the victory if I have it in the proper measure of what I've got to go against, and knowing where I'm at with God and where God is at with me. So we don't run scared. As a Christian, I am not scared of the devil. I'm not going to go looking for him. I'm not going to go look for a fight, because you know what? I'd rather bathe in the presence of God. Why be a devil battler? You know? Because if we take that off, that opportunity to say, well, I'm going to just keep fighting the devil, you know? All that is doing, the devil is keeping you from praising and worshiping God and just sitting at his feet and saying, Master, I love you. I'm here for you. What can I do for you, God? You know? Well, go help this person. Go give this person. Go do time or something this way. Help them do this. You know, show the love of show my love to this person by doing this. It's sometimes hard to do if you always think that you got to keep in the trenches battling the devil all the time. You find that a lot, and here it is, militarily. And we're not there yet, but militarily, you'll find that your enemy would rather try to, even though they know that they may eventually lose, but if they can keep you entrenched in a particular battle or a particular area of a land long enough, they'll either think about wearing you down, reducing your resources, or if the folks back home get tired of it, they'll be peer pressure or the population pressure of saying, just get out of there, it's not worth it anymore. Some of these enemies never really thought that they're going to truly win it by outright brute force. A lot of the enemy out there is going to win battles by just what? The long haul of just continually being a burr in your saddle. And I think there's things like that are taking place in the world of today, and I think a lot of it is dealing with financial type situations, and that the enemy is out there. They've got an agenda to the point to where they will stay headstrong. Even if it takes them three generations to get what they want, they will run through three generations of their lineage. And each one of those generations is taking probably the finances out of the countries that they want to overtake or destroy. Because battle by battle, armor by armor, there's not too many people that can handle the United States, right? We got technology we don't even know about. But the one thing that will always bring down a level playing field is finances. And if you can drain out the money, eventually you will win. So anyway, we see that in the natural, that our enemy in the natural will do that, even though they know they can't militarily go head to head, but they will look at another weak area and just keep gnawing away at it, gnawing away at it. The devil is the same way in your life. He's going to look for that weak area in your life to where he may not win the battle today, but he knows that if I can just keep gnawing away at you in this particular area for another 6 months, another 2 years, another 3 days, whatever it is, that eventually you will give in. And guess who wins? Yeah. The devil wins. So anyway, that was the second week talking about bringing into captivity, you know, submitting to Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience and things of that nature. So that was there. Now, we're going to go to this week, because in part of that area, last week, we got down to where we needed to decide or choose which method to win the battle. How are you going to win the battle that you're in? Are you going to use God's weapons, or are you going to use the world's weapons? And we know, I'm pretty sure most of you out there are going to say what? God. Wouldn't you say that? We're going to use God's weapons. And we find out, and it's like, well, what are his weapons? Chris, is that slide about ready to come up, sir? Are we there yet? There it is. So we need you, put yourself, you need to decide what method you're going to use to win your battles that you're going to be in tomorrow, this week, this afternoon. God's weapons are the world's. So what are at our disposal of those of God's weapons? Here is some: prayer. Would you think that is a weapon? What about faith? Faith is a great weapon. Hope, love, God's Word, the Holy Spirit. These are the things that are part of our arsenal of being a soldier of God in His kingdom that He's given us. You know, some of that we could look at and say, wow, you know, prayer, that's like a missile, you know. Faith, that's like a tank that you can't get through, man. It's just there. You can't penetrate it. So all these things we could look at, possibly the natural things of looking at what they've got there, you know. Could be like Holy Spirit, like a drone. You know? But these are the weapons of God. So let's take a look at prayer as one of them. You can just read it for yourself there. It's what I got here. Some scriptures that kind of tie prayer into some things and Psalms. And then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. Have you guys cried out to the Lord in your troubles? I have. If you haven't, you might want to give that first shot. You know? Cry out to the Lord in your trouble. Okay, and then He brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. And then they are glad because they are quiet. And so He guides them to their desired haven. Prayer, that's one of our weapons that we deal with in this world that will help you battle that battle that's going to be there. The battle, you're going to have a battle. Let's just get right to it. You're going to have it. And one of those areas you're going to deal with by prayer, after you've prayed, have you felt calmness? I usually have. After I've prayed, do I feel less stress and distress? Yes. I feel a peace, Lou. That peace that passes the understanding, all understanding, because I prayed to God and I said, God, this situation, take care of this. This thing I'm dealing with, I need help with that. Take this away. Bring this to me. Do this for that, or whatever the case might be. Prayer. Matthew 21:22 says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing that you receive them. That's a great tool to have in a battle, guys. Prayer, knowing that whatever I pray, my Father in heaven hears me. It doesn't fall on deaf ears, amen. The greatest thing, too, is I got Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He's at the right hand of God, interceding for me, petitioning my prayers. He's there, amen. Through Jesus. So if you really want power in that prayer, you know, and maybe put an extra cap of gunpowder on it and say, and I ask this in the name of Jesus. Talks about that in His Word, what you ask in my name, Jesus. Sometimes you just pray a prayer, Lord, take care of the situation for me, or whatever, take care of this deal. Amen. But, you know, you say, take care of the situation, and Lord, I ask this in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Boom! Jesus there, I'm right there now. I got a little bit more oomph in me now, you know. He said, Jesus! So anyway, and whatever things you ask in prayer, you've got to believe. That's going to tie into faith, amen. So that's part of our weapons too, faith. But you've got to believe that you will receive. If the devil knows that you are just giving God lip service and you're not going to believe what you're saying, that you're going to still be in distress and still be in problems and all 2 days from now, even though you prayed, the devil knows that this person prays in no faith. Or the devil already knows that this person, when they pray, they're not going to believe it's going to happen. Or if it doesn't happen by 5 o'clock, they're going to soon be in doubt. The devil pretty well probably knows how long it's going to take for you to be in doubt. And so, where was it talked about when they prayed and the answer was instantly heard and the response was sent? But it took 20 plus 1 days to get there because of the spiritual battles and things that are in the heavenlies. So the devil hears those prayers and he sees a prayer that's coming right down for Lou. Lou's prayed a prayer that's coming down, and all of a sudden in the spiritual realm there's devils, there's things up here, they're going to hold it up a little bit. And it's getting closer to Lou, but Lou doesn't know it because he thought it was going to be answered by Tuesday at noon, and now it's Thursday at 5. And now he's starting to maybe doubt. Not that you would, Lou, but just as an example, okay? Work with me, man. Work with me. So now it's coming down, and it's Wednesday, and boom, all of a sudden Thursday it hits. But because he's a man of faith and a man of trusting God, it didn't matter that the answer didn't come on Monday at 5. It just mattered that he knew the answer was coming at God's time. And even if it had to go through multiple things in the spiritual realm, you know, you talk about in today's age, we back in the 40s and the 50s and all, we were always worried about the atomic bomb and nuclear, you know, was going to just kill everything. Well, today, they're not as concerned with the nuclear type bomb that would do that with that type of thing, but they're more concerned with a bomb that would take care of the magnetic field, which would destroy just as much as an atomic bomb, really. It'll kill lives eventually because people will go crazy. You know, it'd be like dog-eat-dog world. But all they're believing to do, all they have to do now is they detonate this thing up in space, a magnetic-type bomb that'll destroy the waves, and you will not have your power, you will not have water, you will not have electricity, you will not have TV, you will not have cell phones. It sounds like a nuclear attack to me. Yeah. But see, today, and the way arsenals have increased, they don't have to send a bomb and have some kind of hot gases kill you with, you know, burns and all that. They just take away your electronics. So, Chris, use this as fast as you can. Get as much use out of it. You never know when it's going to be turned off. But that's how in our prayers we prayed and we don't see those things. When they would detonate one of those things up there, you probably wouldn't really see the carnage of that magnetic, whatever they call it, I can't think what they call those bombs up there that would destroy the magnetic field. It's just some kind of electronic thing that just fries everything. So it's like that in our prayer life, just like in where that 20-in-1 day type thing where we had to stand strong. I didn't see the opposition there, but I knew it's going to come. So prayer is one of those things, you got to believe it. Whatever you ask when you pray, believe it. You will have them. That's Mark is similar to what Matthew is saying. John 14 says, and whatever you ask in my name, there's that name. Amen. Whose name? Jesus, my name, I will do. Man, I tell you what, if you want a double-aught shot, you know, I'm not a hunter, but does that sound like a gun, like ammo? I remember hearing that on Hillbillies, double-buck shot. Granny would say, Jethro, give my double-buck shot. They're coming up the driveway. But anyway, I will do, my name, I will do, that the Father, see this whole thing, we benefit from God wanting to get the glory. You talk about a benefit factor is this. God wants the glory so much that if as long as we don't hold it in ourselves and say, well, look what I did. Look what I can do. Look at the power I possess. If we keep it humbled and say it's Him working through us, we lay hands on somebody and they're healed. Praise God. It's not me. It's just a conduit that God's using. You know, all these things happening. So, why? So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jesus, all He did, all He was about, was wanting to bring glory unto God the Father. His whole ministry was not to be upon, look at me. It was always to say, I bring honor and glory to Him. That should be our forte now. Whatever you guys go through, whatever you pray, whatever people see through you, it should ultimately lead nothing but up to the Almighty God. And say, God, woo, praise God for that. You know, people, you give people things and help them out on things, and they say, oh, you're so this or that. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm just showing the love of Christ. I just want you to know that God loves you. Do you tell people that? You know, you do something for them, and they want to just give you the accolades. And it's like, no, I just want to let you know that God loves you. Know that. So I want to glorify my Father just like my Savior did. So if you ask anything in my name, I will maybe do it. I'll do it. That's one of our weapons of how we handle these areas of vain imaginations, casting down things. How are you going to battle the devil? Prayer. Let's go to that next one. I don't even need this thing, I think. I can just read with you folks. Faith. We gain security in God's power through faith. We gain security. 1 Peter, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You guys have a living hope. I hope you know that. To an inheritance that is what? Incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. An inheritance that is any one of those things is far and above anything that you've got in this world today. Because the things of this world are going to rust, decay, and fall away. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved where? This place ain't my home. I don't need all that down here. All I need is the God to provide and provide and to keep me in whatever measure and whatever blessing and a roof over my head and food and electricity and a blanket or two if I have to turn the thermostat down. My God will supply all those things. But I really got something much more reserved there in heaven. The word says it. And who are kept by the power of God through what? Faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Faith for salvation. That's one of those things in the very first part of the weeks we talked about, let go. How many times has the devil told people that you are not saved? How many times has the devil told people that God doesn't love you? How many times has the devil said you are too bad for God to even want? There's a lot of people out there that walk with that condemnation. Is that what that would be? Mm-hmm. Condemnation. Just pushing you down. Devil sees you going down, he's high-fiving all of his other friends. Ooh, look what I'm doing to this guy. Look what I'm doing to this gal. We just about got it. Just keep on them. Then the devil, he's got his helpers too, and they come up there and go, hey, did you see what's happening? What do you think about this? And the devil says, just keep on them. Just keep wearing them down. You're doing the right thing. That person better get wise and know that God, if they're a child of God, they've got an arsenal of weapons at their disposal that they can counteract all of those things from the devil. Faith is one of them. Because why? Our whole walk begins with faith. My salvation of who I am in Christ began with faith. None of us saw Jesus in the flesh. None of us had that opportunity to come up to an altar call and have Jesus standing before them and saying, say this prayer. But I read it in his word. I believe it in his word. His word is truth and life. His word never lies. And so I walk in that. I know that's where I'm going. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you've received the word of God, which you've heard from us, you've welcomed it not as a word of men. I hope, and anything that I share with you guys, I hope it's not just my words. I don't want to do that. I want to bring it out of his word, his writings, because guess what? It's not words of men, but it's the truth, the word of God, which also is effectively works in you who believe. We really don't need a lot of help books and self-help books out there, but we've got a lot out on the market, and they're all good, I guess, to a part and parcel. But for the most part, if you got the word of God, you got it. Yes. For this reason. Wow. So as you receive the word of God that I try to share, or if anybody tries to share, or if you talk to somebody out on the street or a co-worker or a family member and you're sharing the word of God, they're not receiving your word, are they? They're should be hearing God's word, what God's word says about their situation, what God's word says about this place that we live in, what God's word says about giving us a hope and what he can do for us. So praise God. I'm glad it's not my word, because my word ain't nothing. My word has no power behind it. You know, we don't have time to probably go there. Oh, okay, that's faith. So that's faith. That's the, power through faith and the security. What's next? We're going to come up to hope. Got to have hope. Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait upon the Lord, look far and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength. Amen. That's talking about those eagles. Amen. They've got several eagles along Monterey dam in that area down through there. I was seeing on the paper there, photographs. Majestic. When you see an eagle, you just stop in your tracks. You just look. I don't care if they're even sitting in a tree. I've stopped and just look at them in a tree like, wow, you know. Then if they're soaring up there and they're, you know, they're there, you just, that's mesmerizes you some more. But anyway, but those who wait for the Lord, so that's another thing, guys. We're going through a situation. You're casting down vain imaginations. You're going through a battle, but you've got to wait on the Lord, amen. You've got to wait on the Lord to handle those things. You can't just go through it on your own. But you got to wait on the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in Him. Amen. There's that hope. Hope in Him. That's kind of the amplified breaking that down of waiting upon Him who expect, look for, and hope in Him shall change and renew their strength and power. Renew their strength. If you're going through a battle, you're casting down vain imaginations, you're casting things out, you're in a battle in the thoughts, the mind is the battlefield, you're going through these things, you've got to be turning to God to load up your arsenal of weaponry so that you can have the strength and the power and that you're going to lift up your wings, mount up, woo, look at that, mount up to do what? Close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. For they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint, or become tired. See, we get tired, we faint, we battle. You will get tired, you will faint, you will stumble when you're battling these things in this, you know, in the spiritual realm of the battle of the mind and trying to cast these thoughts and all these things. You will faint and stumble and maybe fall if it's under your own strength. Remember, the devil knows when you're about ready to give up, and he'll just, you know, lodge another attack on you. One more, one more. But go through a battle and all that, but then you turn to the Lord, and you begin to pray, and you have hope, and I've got hope in your word, God. Your word says all these things for me, and then in Isaiah, it talks about renewing my strength. I'm going to get close to you. Amen. Mounting up like an eagle, the 1 Thessalonians. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love and patience, unwavering of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. In Hebrews, it says this, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. That's one of the, well, that is a great thing. See, the world moves in smoke and mirrors. Actually, the world moves in a lot of lies and deceptions and deceit. Because the world believes that if, and you've heard this, if you can say a lie long enough and over enough, and enough people hear it for enough times, people will begin to believe a lie. Even though the people that are saying it know it's a lie, they know subconsciously, they know the people, they know our mindset that you'll just automatically just pick it up and start believing it. It's like, where did you hear that? Well, I've heard it all my life. Well, I've heard it since I was a kid. Well, it's a lie. But God, it's impossible to lie. We might have strong consolation. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. You guys, we have been running from different things in our lives, haven't we? You know, we're fleeing these things that we've been a part of, that's been in our life, whatever it is in your life. You're battling them, you win a little bit, and then it takes you over. Now you're fleeing and you're looking for refuge. But where do you want to have refuge at but in God? Have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. And then Romans says this, 5:5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by what? The Holy Spirit who was given to us. So there's the Holy Spirit already showing up there as one of our weaponry that we have to battle these things. So now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Tell you what, if you can walk in love, that just frustrates the devil. See, any of these things that we look at, thinking back about prayer as a weaponry that God has for us, the world would, of course, be unprayer. You know, that one of the weapons of the world or the devil would be, don't pray. Be distressed. Be worried. Believe that you're the only one that's going to take control of it. It's no one else but you. Think of the other one that we had there. What was the... faith. The world's weaponry of faith is what? Unbelief. Doubt. So as we walk in faith, that's God's weaponry that we have. The world is going to try to battle you with doubt. Okay, so these are some things you've got to look at the backs and forths of what's going to happen here. Hope. If we don't have hope, you know, the world walks and the world is really tied into a lot of things of what? No hope. Gloom. Despair. Tragedy. It's gonna even get worse. You know, that's the world side. That's how they will battle you. I'm saying the world, I'm saying the God of this world, the things that has place out there, because we're in the spiritual realm of battling these things, and it all is taking place generally where at? In our mind. What we set our mind upon, we will do it. Whatever has the most impact and impartation in our mind will generally control our actions. Garbage in, garbage out. Good stuff in, good stuff out. All these things that we've heard, and it's statistically out there, I guess, you know, through doctors and things. So those are the opposites of what the world would say, and, you know, hope. You have no hope. It's going to get worse. You're going to be it's doom and gloom. The next area would be, I think we got what, is love. Psalms 91:14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, I will set him on high, because he has known my name. And in Romans, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall? What is going to separate you from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Could. Distress? Could. Being persecuted? Could. Famine? Could. All those things up there could. That's what he's saying up there. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will it be tribulations? Stress and distress that you're going through? Persecuted? Famine? You know, lack? Don't have the needs that you have? Nakedness? You know, you're not clothed. Your personal, you know, you start about famine. You can't provide food, and you don't have nothing to eat, and nakedness and peril and the sword. For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors through him who, why? Loved us. What is saying there, who shall separate us? Those things that we talked about, tribulation, stress, famine, and persecution, those things is what the devil wants to use in your life to separate you from your God. And he is pretty good at doing those things. You know, the devil's been around a long time too, hasn't he? So he's pretty sneaky, cunning. And there's been many a church, many a Christian that has fallen, that has stumbled, that may no longer be serving Christ because of one of those areas that has come into their life. Tribulations, distress, the persecution, famine, nakedness. They all of a sudden they didn't have their needs and all that, and maybe they became, you know, talk about poor. Poor is not poor when you got a place to live. Poor is when you just don't have no place. You know, you're destitute out there, whatever, in peril. But yet these things, we are more than conquerors through him who's loved us. And Jesus said something along the line that, you know, count it all good as far as if you are persecuted in those things. Yeah, so was I. You're counted right up there with him, aren't you? It's like we talk about being Christ-like and followers of him. And I think a lot of times we look at it because of all the good things he did and all the good things that happened around him, which is good. But also we've got to remember that I want to be a follower of Christ and emulate the things that he did or went through or whatever. Then I've got to realize there's going to be times that he was persecuted. Probably a good chance that I will be persecuted. You know, whatever he went through, we're going to be. And when that happens, he at least gave us an attaboy. Like, hey, so was I. Count it all good that you counted that way. So anyway, what's next? Love. Then we go into God's word. It gets a little bit smaller because there's a lot of scriptures there I ended up throwing in there. God's word. God's word has the power to create. It has the ability to keep alive and active. You know, his word is alive. Amen. Isn't that exciting to know that his word is alive and powerful? I am so happy that his word is not just a storybook word, and it's like, well, that happened way back in the land of, way back in the castle. You know, a little storybook. But it's alive and active because we need it for today. He knew that. That's why his word is alive and active, because of all the things that we're going to go through. You've got to be able to battle things, you've got to use things at your disposal that are active and alive and viable. His word is viable. His word is there. Amen. And then it'll endure, and it has the power to heal. So go back up to power to create. What do we do? For this, 2 Peter 3:5, for this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now we can go back into Genesis, and it talks about what? He said, let there be by his what? Word, and things developed. Things began to pop when God began to talk and began to present things and began to focus on all these things. Hebrews says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which were visible. He took things that were not visible and created them into such a way with his words that now, guess what? We see. How did he do it? Tracy's going to cover that probably in a few weeks in Sunday school. No. I think he's going to be sharing a few weeks out in February, a couple of weeks on, I think something along what, can't think what it was now. Apologetic type thing, or along that areas of things? Yeah. Nowadays, of how they battle and try to deny the things of Christ. Because it's a battle out there. Everything that they even though, you know, even though the enemy loses a battle, there's enough of him and enough in him that he'll come back for another battle, you know. So they'll continue to bring things up. But anyway, the world was framed by the word of God, so that the things which are not seen were made of things which were visible. Oh my goodness. It's alive and active, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what is good to know about his word. It's good by looking at his word and being able to kind of run that as a filter to see what we're thinking and what's in our heart and our mind. And the heart and the mind is kind of an attached type thing, because out of the heart the mouth speaks. Those type things, you know, so what's in your heart is going to come out that way, but what's your mind? So as we look at this, that we find that the Word of God is living, the Word of God is powerful, and it's important for you to keep that forefront in your dealings day in and day out when you're trying to take control of the things in your mind and capturing these things and casting them out and pulling them down, pulling down those strongholds. Then we find that it'll endure, Matthew says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So heaven and earth, all this, isn't it amazing to think that all this that we've got here is going to pass away one of these days? But the one thing that's going to stand is the words, his word. And it's so glad, and I'm so glad we got it in like print form and in a paperback or in a Bible or a book format where we can carry it with us. But his words by no means pass away. And then it's power to heal. Talking about the things of God and his word, okay, and dealing with this power of weaponry that we have. How many here get sick now and then? His power to heal by his word. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but just only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Just speak a word, Lord. My Lord, speak a word. And he went, and guess what happened? He was healed. Servant was healed. We know that on the backs of the stripes in the back of Jesus, that by his stripes were healed and these things. But even in, we saw him as he walked this earth, that Jesus healed ones. He was never really in a hurry to even get the people that were sick, because he knew that one we shared a long time back now about why he took a while to get there. Was it this? No, can't think where it was at now, but he went there and he took his time so that person would really be sick and die, so that they would really see the glory of God. Pardon? Lazarus. Lazarus. That's right. Lazarus. Because that's when he wept. But, so, here again, he waited to do those things so that they would see the power that God has. And that's why, see, when we go to him with a problem and a concern and we pray to him and he doesn't answer right away, he's just saying, hey, I'm going to wait, and the answer is coming, but it's going to bring glory unto my Father. It's at his timing, so that we see that it's always there. What's the next? And I think we're about ready to wrap it up. The Holy Spirit's the last one. Okay, the Holy Spirit has great power, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. But the most important thing there is what? He has great power, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I hope you got the Holy Spirit upon you. I hope you're walking with the Holy Spirit, because there is a powerhouse in you because of that. Amen. That nothing's going to affect you, that you and the Holy Spirit, which is, you know, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the three in one, that can't handle it and come through it. Amen. And then it talks about it gives us joy and peace. So we find out the Holy Spirit gives us power. Joy and peace, that's some of the things that will really help you be at ease in your minds and your thoughts and your battling things, you know, going through distress and situations and aggravations. It's like, lay them aside, and I'm going to focus on this with God's word. I've turned it over to God. I've cast it on him, my care upon him. I'm going to give out, and I'm going to have joy and peace, because in Romans it says, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God, here again, is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, the kingdom of God is just not eating and drinking. You know, there's more things involved in it, you know. We have the righteousness, not of our righteousness, but of his righteousness, amen. And the peace and the joy in the Holy Spirit. And then keeps us in touch with God. It's probably one of the most important things as a people, is you got to stay in touch with the source. If you don't stay in contact with your creator, how are you going to know what he wants you to do? How are you going to hear him say stop when you should have stopped? How are you going to hear him to say go this way or that way if you're not in constant contact with him day in and day out? You're in a battle. Go back to the battlefield. Do you think these people in the military, when they go to war, do you think that they're out in the battlefield, they never talk or call back to the command center to get an update on what's next or where do I go from here or what's the situation look like? You're battling in a battle. They're in constant contact and back and forth with those in the back that have readings of the overhead of saying, well, there's the strength of the criminal, the military, and all, you know. So they're giving them constant directions to say, go this way, go that way. We've got to do the same thing, but our contact to the head guy is through the Holy Spirit, because we hear him and he speaks to our spirit by that of the Holy Spirit, and you have that nudge. People say things like, well, I don't know, I just felt like I shouldn't do that, and you know, it was a good thing I didn't because this happened. Or I felt that I was to do this, and I did, and guess what blessing happened? Wow, God is good. But it's all being prompted and nurtured by the Holy Spirit, as we are a spirit being led by the Spirit, and our spirit is hooked up, and he can just download stuff, amen, download stuff to you. And it'll help you with those vain imaginations, casting these things away and all this. So likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we know not what to pray, or know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It is wonderful to pray in the Spirit. I'd rather pray in the Spirit than pray in my voice, because praying in the Spirit, I just know, Lord, it's just your language. It's you're hearing the prayer of the Spirit. And it's just going back and forth that way. There's probably a lot of times, have you ever gone into that realm of praying in the Spirit, and you come out of that, and you feel really, really refreshed. You really feel like there's been an answer taken, given, direction taken, given, the need handled, whatever way. Because, see, when I pray in that unknown tongue, but I'm praying, usually we are in our weakness. And see, when you're going through a battle and the devil's got you down and he's got his hand on your throat just trying to choke the life out of you of the kingdom, you my goodness, you're going to be weak. And you need to be able to pray. And you need to get that weight off of you. You need to get that whatever is away from you. So when you're weak, Know that you are strong. I wonder what happens to the devil when you start praying in that language. Wow. Oops. It's like a jargled type communication where you know, he doesn't know what's going on maybe. It's like, what is he praying? I can't understand that now. It's like the new, you know, police agencies and things like that, you know, that you can listen online and listen to the things, but then they used to in the days gone by before they got laptops in their patrol cars, they used to garble it. I think Bloit still does. And all of a sudden they'll go to a scramble. They'll say, scramble this. And all you hear is going, it's like, what are they saying? But the person that's saying it is going through a scrambler, and that scrambler then sends it to this person, but yet they're on the same frequency of that scrambled message, but they hear exactly what they're saying. And those outside, you can't make out what it is. It's just a bunch of garbledygook. So that's how they do that type of communication when they don't want the bad guys to know that they're going to bust a drug party somewhere, you know. Nowadays, they do a lot on laptop. They'll call out there and say, there's a message coming to your screen. Well, that just tells you that they're sending something over at this address, blah, 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 there's something happening. And they know a lot of people have scanners out there, and they don't want to give the bad guys a heads up that, hey, the cavalry's coming. So, anyway. But that scrambling and those type things is so that the enemy doesn't hear, the bad guys don't hear that there's help coming. So when I get in trouble and I don't know how I ought to pray and I'm weak and I'm down, I begin to pray in the spirit. And sometimes you'll find that you start praying in that and you're kind of weak. And before you know it, you're starting to get built up again. You start feeling the strength. You're starting to feel strong. You're starting to say, ooh. But don't get out of that language. Keep it in it. Don't say, oh, I can take it over now. Oop, okay, and then you get all messed up again. But the stronger and stronger. Pretty soon you might start out really low. Oh, shandariya, kandariyata, shandariyata, sandariyata. And then the spirit is rising up. Spirit's getting ticked off. Spirit is saying, hey, now that you got me connected, this thing's going to get done. You know, we're going to go full force. And all of a sudden you're just out there just, you could be at the top of your lungs in the car, wherever, just, because you want the enemy to know that, hey, I'm calling for reinforcements. And you're not going to know how they're going to handle it because you can't understand what I'm saying. And then when I'm done saying, I'm going to say, okay, I feel better now. The load has taken off of my shoulders. I've cast that care onto my Lord. And I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to praise him for it. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to have joy. I'm going to have strength because of that already. And when the Lord sees that, then he goes, oh, you really do have faith in me, Tim. Lord, I have faith in you. He goes, I'm glad to see faith in you, Tim. I'm glad, Tim, that you trust me. I'm glad, Tim, that you believe in me. I'm glad, Tim, that you know that I'm here for you. And I'm so glad that, Tim, you come to me now ahead of time. Years ago, you used to wait until the last hour, the last situation. You couldn't do it on your own. But you've learned, young man. I think he still calls me young because, hey, I'm still young. I'm only halfway there. I'm supposed to be until about 120, so get ready, honey. You got me for a long time. Takes a while to learn it. It's not always easy. Sometimes it takes bumps and bruises, skinned knees, to learn the truth and the trust and the hope of God. But the one thing about it is he stays there and continues to be there for you. No matter how many knees you skin, how many times you fall, he's there. I think that one song, By That Grace, what was that song? I can't remember what I repeated it on, but 1,000 times, you know, your grace and mercy or whatever's been there. And he continues to lift you up, dust you off, maybe kiss your boo-boo, make you feel better, and says, now go on, you can do it. Just like you do for your children, he does for you. And he will continue to do that for you until he calls you home or until Jesus comes. Whichever way, it's a win-win for us. Be ready. Father, we love you. I think next week I want to look at some of the wills. That's another part of the end of the message that we had last week, is trying to find out the will of God. You know, what is his will about this? What is his will about that? And we'll look at some scriptures and see if we can pull out some of those things. But I hope and I trust that this is encouraging all of us to have a good year of 2014, to let go of these stupid things that I've been dealing with for the last 5 years, 12 years, whatever. And I'm going to say, Lord, this is a good year. We're just getting into it, that I'm going to trust you. And you'll find that the more trust you put into him, the more that he just continues to help and do more for you. Then you begin to see him in every aspect of your life. You go, you mean, God, you're not only here in the bad times, you're here in the good times too? God say, I'm here all the time. But my people don't really know that I'm there until they're in a problem. Then they call on me. I would wish my people would know that I'm there all the time and that they would just have conversation with me during the week and just say, hey, God, you're great. You're awesome. I love you. Beautiful this. Great that. Beautiful snow yesterday. Soft and just coming down. You look out there now and it's just so fresh and pristine. Wow. Awesome. We want to wait on you for your